that I can't, that I won't, that I fail, that I'll never make it out, yeah. Please tell me all the bad, never good. Fill my head full of every single doubt, yeah. Please say any negative thoughts. I pop off when I hear people say I cannot. I get off to the thought of proving everyone wrong. I won't stop to the top, so you better...
You will hear a tourist asking for information at a tourist office. First, you will have some time to look at questions 1 to 4. Now we shall begin. You should answer the questions as you listen, because you will not hear the recording a second time. Listen carefully and answer questions 1 to 4.
Hello, how can I help you?
Hello. Is it possible to book a bus tour of the city here?
Of course, sir. When would you like to take the tour? There are tours in the morning, afternoon and evening. Sometimes it's nice to see the city at night with the buildings lit up.
We'll be going out for dinner tonight, so we'd prefer to go this afternoon. Oh, and it's for 2 people.
Right. Now, I just need some details. Can you give me the names of the 2 people, please?
Yes. Susan Field and James Carter.
Susan Field and James... Sorry, can you spell your surname for me, please?
It's Carter. C-A-R-T-E-R.
Thank you. And can I have a contact telephone number?
Why do you need one?
Just in case we have to cancel the tour and need to contact you.
I see. Well, my mobile number is 07988-636-197.
That's 07988-636-197. Now, can you also tell me which hotel you're staying at?
The Crest Hotel. No, sorry. That's the hotel we're staying in next week. It's the Riverside Hotel.
Oh, the Riverside is a lovely hotel. Are you enjoying your stay?
Yes, we are, very much. We'd definitely recommend it to others.
Oh, I am glad. Now, I can book you on the tour at 4 p.m. Would that suit you? Alternatively, there is one at 2.
2 would be better for us, please.
Right. That's booked for you, sir. 2 people at 2 p.m. today, August the 14th. You pay the bus driver when you get on, and it's £4 per person.
Thank you very much. Before you hear the rest of the conversation, you have some time to look at questions 5 to 10. Now listen and answer questions 5 to 10. Can I also ask you about the museum in the main square? I was reading about it in my guidebook and was shocked to see that the entrance price is £10. Why does it cost so much?
Well, the museum has the largest collection of Latin American art in Europe. People come from all over the world to see it. But that's not the reason why it's so expensive to get in. You see, the building is very old and it needs repairs. The £10 ticket cost will go towards repairing the roof and the walls.
I see. Well, I suppose it's worth paying £10 to see the collection.
Yes, I think so too. Is there anything else I can help you with?
Actually, there is. I was wondering if you knew of any good restaurants in the area.
Well, there are a few restaurants near the harbour and a couple on the beach, which are nice. The problem is that the smell of the fish market is quite strong down there.
I don't think my girlfriend would be very pleased.
I know what you mean. It's not very romantic, is it? My advice would be to go to the next town. It's bigger and the restaurant selection is wider. You can get there by taxi and it only takes about 10 minutes. The town is quite picturesque. Is it for a special occasion?
Yes, it's my girlfriend's birthday, so I'd like to go somewhere special. Do you know any of these restaurants well enough to tell me about them?
Well, I know about a few of them, and there are pictures in this leaflet here. Oh, this one here is lovely, the Bellevue, and it's extremely popular. It has a famous chef, so it's not cheap, but the standard of the food is very high. It's right by the sea, and there are wonderful views if you get a good table. Then there's the Lighthouse Cafe. You can see the picture here, which isn't really a cafe at all. In fact, it's a great restaurant, and a lot of TV celebrities and actors eat there. The place has been going for over 100 years. It's quite an institution around here.
I'm not sure about those two. They sound too expensive to me. I was thinking of somewhere small, not too upmarket, but with good food.
In that case, what about Harvey's? The same family has run this restaurant for over a century, and it's reasonably priced and really popular with local people. Oh, and there's another family-run restaurant, Stonecroft House. New owners took over a month ago, and they're getting good reviews. There's a new chef there, and the food is meant to be very good. This leaflet has the contact details for all the restaurants, so you can just call them if you'd like to book a table.
Great, thanks. You've been very helpful.
That is the end of part one.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now it turns to part two.
Part two.
You'll hear two teachers discussing a school trip. First, you have some time to look at questions 11 to 16. Now, listen carefully and answer questions 11 to 16.
Oh, there you are, Paul. Do you have a few minutes? Can we think about this year's school trip?
Hi, Jean. Yes, of course. Have you got any ideas?
I've been looking through some information, and I've brought a few leaflets with me. Here you are.
Okay, thanks. Just remind me when the trip is.
Next Friday. We'll be leaving at 9 and be back here at around 4, so we've probably got time to visit a couple of places. Let's see. What leaflet have you got there?
Central Gardens. Looks like a nice place. It's open from 9 until 6, so we could go there anytime we wanted, really. What about there in the morning and then somewhere else in the afternoon?
Farmer's Market would be an option first as well, at least until they close at 1. Or we could try Grey Castle. That should be possible in the morning or in the afternoon. Oh, hang on. That's at the weekend. The last admission is at noon on weekdays. Greenhall says the same thing.
Queen's Park opens at 8, so we could go there first. Or, according to these times, we could go there on the way back to school, because they don't close the gates until sunset during the week.
Okay, that gives us a few options. We went to Queen's Park a couple of years ago, didn't we? I seem to remember that the pupils really enjoyed it. It'd be nice to go somewhere new as well. I've seen groups from other schools going around Grey Castle.
So have I. But then again, maybe we should play it safe and go to Green Hall. At least we've got experience of taking classes round there. Farmers Market is popular with other schools, though, so it must be interesting.
It'd be good to go somewhere where someone can show the pupils around, you know, explain things to them. I've been on a tour around the castle, and they do a really good job. I think they have guides at the hall, too, don't they?
It says here that they used to, but don't anymore. You can get shown round Central Gardens, though. I think we'd have to do any explaining if we took the pupils to the market or the park. That wouldn't be a problem, though.
No, and at least those two would be free, wouldn't they? I think all the others charge, and we'd have to get the parents to pay some money.
I'm sure they wouldn't mind paying if it was a small amount. Let me check the leaflets. There's a special price for large groups at Grey Castle. Oh, but you can get into Central Gardens for nothing.
Right. Oh, I've just thought of something. We wouldn't need to book anything if we were going to Queen's Park. But what about the other places?
Central Gardens say you need to let them know if there are more than 10 people in your group, which would include us. The same at Grey Castle. Farmer's Market says you can just turn up, and so does Green Hall.
Right. Well, I suggest we take the pupils to Grey Castle for a tour in the morning. How does that sound?
Yes, sounds good. We should contact them to book it as soon as possible. In the afternoon, we can do something a bit more relaxed at the park, and we'll have to think about going to Green Hall another year. Shame Farmer's Market isn't open, but we can't change the day.
So that's a decision then. Now, let's think about what we're going to get the pupils to do. It's a school trip, after all, and we should give them some work to do.
Before you hear the rest of the talk, you have some time to look at questions 17 to 20. Now listen and answer questions 17 to 20.
I think they should know something about the place before they go. That way they know what they're looking at, and they'll be able to write about it better when they get back. I'll put some information together to look at home and give them copies after the next lesson.
Good idea. I'll write something for them to do as they're going round the place. We did a quiz last year, and that worked really well. I'll do the same kind of thing this time.
Okay. Now, what about the travel arrangements? How are we getting there?
What do you think? I remember one year Mrs. Jackson took her group by bus, and that was a complete nightmare.
It's quite a long way, isn't it? We could hire a coach for the day, which is what we usually do. Or there's the train.
It's rush hour, though, isn't it? So it'll be really crowded. And it'll be more convenient for the rest of the day if we've got our own transport.
Yes, we'll do that then. Anything else?
Oh, we need to let the parents know what's happening. We could ask the office to call everyone.
It would take too long with so many. I know when we send a letter home, there are always a few pupils who lose it. But not all the parents have email yet, so I don't think we have any choice, really. I'll write something and take it to the school office this afternoon.
Right. I'll go and tell the pupils the good news.
That is the end of part two.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now it turns to part three.
Part three.
You will hear two students, Jenna and Marco, discussing a business studies project they have to do. You now have 15 seconds to read questions 21 to 24.
Come on, Marco. We've got to get on and sort out this project for Professor Buckley.
Hang on. I want to make sure we've got all the information. Now, where are we?
Well, today we need to sort out exactly what we're going to do and how we're going to divide the work up.
Okay. How long have we got, by the way?
The end of term is April 6th. And he said to hand it in on week 8, so that's March 25th at the latest, because the beginning of that week is the 21st, so not long.
Right. Have you got the notes there?
Yes. He wants us to do a fairly small-scale study, like the last one, on whether or not businesses were offering more benefits to staff.
Mm.
And we've now got to look at the rise in older workers. It should be fairly straightforward.
Yeah, as long as we keep it small.
Mm.
Who's marking it?
I don't know. Sometimes he gets the PhD students to mark it for him.
Oh, actually, it just says here, a senior lecturer. Mm. I suppose it's too much for Professor Buckley to do them all.
Yeah. Anyway, how are we going to go about this?
Well, we have to decide how big we want it to be and who...
Yeah, but I think we must sort out a timetable for the project. Otherwise, nothing will get done.
Okay. Do you want to do that?
All right. I'll do it as soon as we finish here.
Before you hear the rest of the talk, you have some time to look at questions 25 to 30. Now listen and answer questions 25 to 30.
Okay, what do we have to do now for the project? What's the best way to go about it?
Well, Professor Carter suggested we set up a focus group to get some in-depth interviews, but I think that'll take a lot of time.
Yeah, I agree. If we did a focus group, we'd have to spend time deciding who to include in it, and it's not necessary to do one anyway.
Oh, fine.
And if you agree, I think we should get in touch with the businesses on the list Professor Carter gave us and ask them if they're prepared to participate.
Sounds good. Then we can go there, give them questionnaires, and collect them later.
Exactly.
Okay. Then, do we need to book one of those study rooms in the library so we can work together to input the data? Perhaps not, as I guess just one of us could just sort it out, actually.
Yes, that would be easier. A lot of what we're doing is qualitative, so it'll be writing up rather than statistics. No software for that, I'm afraid.
And I think it would look better if we had actual shots of some of the staff, because we're citing appearance as a factor in employability, aren't we?
Yeah, okay. I'll factor that all in when I sort everything out tonight.
I'm glad we decided to work together. I think it's going to work out well.
Yes, well, given that we had to work in pairs on this project, I think we were right to choose each other.
Hmm.
We complement each other academically, as we're each good at what the other isn't. In fact, we should have tried working together before.
Yes. Now, how shall we split the work? I'll do the analysis, shall I?
Oh, okay.
It's just that it might be faster, because I'm used to doing it. Although, your English is better than mine. I need more practice at reading, really.
Okay, I'll do the presentation then, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, sure. I don't mind speaking in public, but I hate preparing all the notes for them.
The thing is, the tutor said one person should do the whole presentation, and he said he expects me to do it because I haven't done one yet.
No, that's fine. Now, let's see.
That is the end of part three.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now it turns to part four.
Part four.
First, you have some time to look at questions 31 to 40. Now, listen carefully and answer questions 31 to 40.
Today I'm going to talk about the city of Barcelona and its architecture. First, the city. Barcelona is a city of some 1.5 million people. It is a port situated on the northeast coast of Spain in the province of Catalonia. The people speak Catalan as their native language, but most are also fluent in Castilian Spanish, and some speak English too. The city centre is surrounded by a ring road, which encloses a grid, with two major roads running diagonally across it. These are the Avenidas Diagonal and Meridiana. Probably the most famous street in Barcelona is La Rambla, which connects the Plaça de Catalunya in the town centre to the statue of Columbus on the water's edge. All along the centre of this wide boulevard are stalls selling flowers and artistic works. Barcelona was founded by the Carthaginians from modern-day Tunisia in North Africa. It grew under the influence of the Roman Empire, later becoming the capital of Spain. Under strong government, it expanded its trade, exporting cloth to other Mediterranean ports and establishing itself as a financial centre. It went into decline after 1400, and in 1640 it was the centre of the Catalan Revolution against King Philip IV of Spain. Now it is considered by many to be the cultural centre of Spain, and the Olympic Games were held there in 1992. Now to the architecture. Throughout the city, there are many fine buildings, churches, cathedrals, markets and squares, which date back to the 13th century. One very fine square, which can be entered from La Rambla, is the Plaça Real, or Royal Square. This was built by Molina in the 19th century. Seven narrow passages lead into a large central area, which is surrounded by two-storey buildings. Most of the ground floor is occupied by restaurants and bars, and it is traditionally a place of music and entertainment. It is impossible to talk about the architecture of Barcelona without mentioning Gaudí, who dominated the scene from the 1880s until his death in 1926. His style was unique, a decorative form of Art Nouveau, the style of the 1920s and 30s in Europe. It was based on organic natural forms, which often seem to defy the qualities of the materials they are made from. I will mention just three of his best-known works today. The first is Güell Palace. This was built for the Count of Güell, one of Gaudí's main supporters. The building features two arched gates, which lead into the stable area. Inside are two circular staircases, one for people and the other for horses. The ground floor is built of brick, but there is also much natural stone used in the construction. The roof is quite fantastic, with brightly coloured sculptures built around the chimneys and ventilation shafts. Another project commissioned by Gwell is the park named after him. This was meant to be a garden city with 50 houses, but in fact only two were ever finished. The influence of nature is strong in the cave-like spaces and animal figures, and again, much use has been made of brilliantly coloured surfaces. But the greatest of Gaudi's works is still under construction, and it is not expected to be finished until 2041. He began work on this cathedral, known as La Sagrada Familia, Church of the Holy Family, in 1882, which means that it will have taken 159 years to complete. The finished building will have 18 towers, the highest being 170 metres high. The building will be 95 metres long by 60 metres wide, and it will hold 13,000 people, a truly impressive monument to Gaudi's great genius. And that's all we have time for today. Next week, we'll look at some of Gaudi's smaller projects, and also his furniture designs. Please make sure that you complete your assignment on Le Corbusier by this coming Friday.
That is the end of part 4.
You now have half a minute to check your